Everyone listening right now, we are in Patrick's vehicle about to go to a con.
Yeah.
We set up a 5 microphones.
I hope I don't get pulled over.
It's honestly
the weirdest thing to explain.
I'm going to hold your microphone.
What?
I'm cruising one-handed.
You see,
Officer, I'm making the most fire mixtape, and nothing can stop me.
Let me give you my mic.
He's like, you see, Officer, I am what they call a narcissist.
A narcissist.
I'm not one. I'm just friends with
you. Damn. I mean, like begets like, right?
Yeah. So I am recording right now, right,
my
Patrick?
Purse exploded.
Everything's red on this thing. This looks like I'm recording, right?
Is a number moving up?
Yeah, number's moving up on.
Usually
on
red means bad.
Okay.
No, red means it's armed and like that channel's on.
Dangerous.
And then
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think we're going. So you know where we're going, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a dad now. I studied the route.
Lucas, you gotta do
no he has no maps in front of him anymore.
No,
he just knows.
Yeah, well, just like Moana did.
How far we go?
I can pull it up if you want.
Moana?
It's basically Moana? 55
Moana or
First
Moana?
Avenue.
It's never ever been Moana.
Are you sure it's not Moana?
I'm pretty sure it's I'm willing to bet $5 though that someone has drawn that and probably put it on Tumblr. Like the cow version.
Someone look that up right now.
All right, here we go.
Okay, Serena's on it.
I'm on the case, y'all.
I don't know what to do with this thing I'm holding.
Oh, I can hold it.
Please. I got so panicked.
So,
I don't know what to do. Put it in once we get on.
Yeah, sure.
For people who are listening, because this is a podcast?
It's a podcast.
Okay. I don't know what's happening. He handed me a camera because he was doing things, and I was just like awkwardly holding the tripod.
Yeah, but he did a good job at it.
Thank you.
I like it.
It's just going to be all filming of like half of people's faces out the window.
Oh,
it's Moana.
I told you.
Oh my God, you are so right.
And I understand the internet more than is
look
healthy.
At that. Moana.
I know how the internet works.
I don't know if that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If people love puns and also
animals. I know,
animals.
Right? Just make all of this unusable.
Puns. Blast.
Wait, soundtrack. No, turn off Moana.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do.
So good.
But we talked about it on Twitter.
I talked about it because I wanted to do it.
Yeah, don't get mad at us. Get mad at the corporation Disney for not being able to play their songs.
Yeah, let's call them out.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I hear if you say Disney three times, they'll come and get you.
So, even though you bring joy to our children.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
My face is not symmetrical enough for Disney.
You're what?
I learned that in Orlando.
What is?
My face is not symmetrical enough.
Oh, to be like a face character?
Yeah, to be the only one I'm...
That's what they call it.
Oh, they're called face characters?
Yeah.
That's rude.
They're very specific. Like,
is it like wrestling terms where you could be a face or a heel?
What?
I think it's a face or a plush. Like,
yeah, it's like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I get it. I'm like, what would be the other term?
Yeah, it's like, it's face or costume.
Costume.
Because,
okay.
So there's no heels.
No heels.
No. So Universal.
I mean, who knows what's going on inside it, like a Donald Duck costume.
Yeah, well, Donald Duck is a heel.
Is a heel.
I would just be, I would just be naked. Personally.
Okay, that's really
hot.
We're not letting you go around children.
My daughter is now never going to Disney World.
It's fine. I don't have to tell the story.
No. Let's hear Alex going to tell the story.
It's not exciting. It's just when I worked at Universal in Orlando, they constantly tried to get me to be a character actor or costume character because a lot of the costumes are small and they need small people for them.
Oh, that makes sense.
But they don't pay you more.
Nope.
Really?
For those. Nope.
What?
If you're not a face character, you're not paid
that
much.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, and those costumes are hot.
Yeah.
And very claustrophobic, and it gets real hot in Florida.
That's
don't know
why
if you
I'd be
know
naked.
That.
That's what I'm saying.
So every time they're like, are you sure you don't want to do this? I was like, I don't. They're like, are you sure? But Disney, the only one that I'm qualified to be, because the princesses all have like very specific body requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So like princesses, I think, can only be between like 5'2 and like 5'7 or something like that.
Hmm.
But I could be Tinkerbell because I'm short enough.
Oh.
But there's like the face Tinkerbell that like meets people around the park.
And the heel Tinkerbell. The heel.
Like fucks with people. Or
what are you looking at, jabroni?
Or the parade Tinkerbell who like flies down from the castle when they do fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But
stunt
that's usually a boy.
It's usually a dude because you have to be able to do like 15 pull-ups to be considered.
I auditioned Princess Jasmine for the Disney internship program. So they had like you auditioned to be a face character.
Yeah, they literally just stare at your face.
Yeah. That's it's so creepy. That was it. And I was like, do I, like, need to do anything? They're like, no. And it was, like, a big catacall.
Yeah, it's just a huge catacall where they bring people in and they stare at their faces.
And I got my assessment back, you know, where they put me. At McDonald's. Like, one of those, like...
Wait, what?
Like, because, like, so the Disney internship program works, like, it takes kids who go to a community college generally, and...
Is this the same thing as the college program?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they place you. So you you audition, you fill out this, like, assessment or whatever. It's not, like, exactly an assessment because it's not really judging your skill. It's just judging your interest.
And then you sign it in blood because then they own you.
Yeah. And then they place you. So I got
placed. That would have been great podcasting.
In food service or into the costume program.
Wow.
But... my friend did the costume program, and it's literally just laundry. Like, you are just hang out in the workshop, and you just wash these clothes.
The costume. That's wow.
Yeah,
that's
and it's like, oh, the costume program. That sounds so cool. Nope.
Nope.
Wow.
Because you're an intern.
I'm learning so much. Guys, have you ever thought maybe Disney doesn't care about people?
Well.
Have you guys thought about that? I mean, you guys were saying these stories. It's like, they don't.
I mean.
No, no, you go straight ahead, and then you make a left.
Yeah.
Oh.
Keep going, Patrick.
You went on the left side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get on the other one.
Patrick.
I talk a lot of smack about Disney because I never actually worked there. I work at Universal.
Oh, okay.
And I talk a lot of smack about Universal because I did actually work there.
Yeah. Wait, isn't that the same thing? Isn't Disney and Universal
the same?
No,
they're different companies.
Oh, okay.
Like Universal Studios and Disney are... For now.
Until Disney buys them out.
Just wait.
Oh, I always thought they were the same thing.
No, they are enemies.
They're enemies?
They're rivals.
They're
not even frenemies?
No, they're not frenemies.
That's
they're
the best enemies. Time. That's the best time to buy a company.
Dance battle enemies.
Look at this. Traffic.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Get all these cars.
It's actually not that.
Where are they going?
Chicago traffic.
Does anyone else think about that when there are a bunch of cars, where they're going?
Where they're going? If it's on the weekend, it's probably someplace stupid.
Dang.
I fucking hate weekend drivers.
You do.
Do you think anyone else is recording a podcast?
Let's ask.
Excuse me.
Roll down your window. I'll throw the microphone into
the
car.
Don't dare.
Is this the car version of, what is it, Billy on the Street?
Yeah. I'm going to roll down the window and say, like, are you on Stitcher?
Excuse me. What are your thoughts on Dungeons & Dragons?
Too many dungeons.
What's your favorite podcatcher?
You think you think Dungeons & Dragons reached their peak last year? Yeah, me too.
Shit.
Hot take.
That's a
dang,
hot take.
That's
hot
a very hot take.
Hot take.
Explain that take.
I don't know.
I'm just talking shit.
Yeah, I think that you're just like amped and just...
Well, it's got to be on the downside, right? It's got to be on the downslide. I mean,
no, I don't think so.
It's on the up right now, actually.
I think it's at its peak right now.
I think we
are in the Dungeons & Dragons peak, and we will start seeing people that got into role-playing games get into smaller games. So I'm really looking forward to that, to hearing about
D&D, you don't mean tabletop in general. You just mean specifically D&D.
Yeah, I mean specifically D&D.
Gotcha.
D&D, this burst in role-playing is... like 90% D&D right now.
Right.
So we're going to see people start migrating to like smaller games and discover small press and stuff like that. So I'm looking
forward to that. My hot take though is that it's really hard to come up or play a system that's as campaignable as D&D.
Yeah.
So like one that you can play because D&D has been like so well written and like so many editions.
And it's had so many years to like streamline itself.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Honestly, they only got it like the campaignable storytelling wise this edition.
Yes.
Like that's why 5e is so popular.
Yeah, and I think it's a kind of a gateway to other games, right?
Agreed,
like people start playing it.
And D&D has the most like add-ons. You know what I mean? Like anything you can think of they have and you have access to it right now.
Yeah, and I think one of the best strokes by Wizard for this edition was DM
Gross.
Academy.
Gross. We're just playing Moana.
But like the DM's Guild, not DM Academy. DM's Guild, just where people can make their own stuff for 5e and then post it. And then you can sell it, you know, for 50 cents or a dollar for the PDF or whatever, if however much you feel like it's worth. And then just throw out these things. I saw this one really great one for a naval combat that somebody wrote.
My brother.
Yeah, genius. It's really, really good.
Wait, did your brother really write that?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the same one, but my brother wrote Naval Combat Rules.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if it is the same one, but if it is, good for him.
I'll ask him.
Since I know the least about all of this stuff, I feel like, of the people in this car, when you said DM Academy, all I could think of was like a high school AU of DMs. Just like people running Dungeons & Dragons, but at school.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a school for people who want to run Dungeons and Dragons. Like, it's a campaign university.
Like a West Point?
Yeah.
I have one other hot take on D&D, and then I'll get back to focusing on the road.
No, you're doing good.
Driving so well.
Well, we're sitting in traffic. I think it's kind of like the U.S. dollar in the fact that it's like a common currency. So if you're going to jump in and play a game without having to learn new rules or anything, D&D tends to be that tabletop game. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's the one that, like, strangers can play together a lot faster than those small press ones. Mm-hmm. So, Carlos, I totally think you're right. Like, you do need to move on to new games and new systems. Mm-hmm. But D&D, because it's so ubiquitous, it's going to give it this sort of, I don't know, it's going to be the generic role-playing game that you play when you're not looking for something new.
I completely agree with that. You know, when we're thinking about how the gaming bubble is or whatever, we're assuming that people who already play D&D are going to go to indie games, and I think that that's true, but I think that D&D is bringing in new people. So, like, it's actually the game that is growing the community as a whole. Mm-hmm.
I also feel like something being at its peak doesn't mean it won't be at a peak again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Hills and Valleys kind of stuff.
This is its second peak right now, or third peak.
Because I think of, like, the first things that come to mind for me are, like, Star Wars or Star Trek or things like that that have been around for so many decades. And there will be periods of time where there's just diehard fans and not people who care about it. And then they'll, like, make a new movie or make a new show or something. And I feel like D&D is probably the gaming equivalent of that.
For sure. And I think it's, like, a lot of it is, like Carlos and Pat and everyone saying, is that, you know, it is bringing in a large group right now, but I feel like with it happens with music. Let's say you come in and you hear a rock song, like a rock and roll song. You're like, oh, this is dope. But then over time, you sift your way down from subgenre to subgenre to subgenre until you really find the thing that you absolutely love. And that's like you bring in to D&D, but then you might sift down and be like, oh, I really like this tactical component, so maybe I'm going to try out Pathfinder because it has more flexibility in the tactical aspect. And then you sift down even farther, and then you're into more of a war game, you know, and then it just keeps going down until you really find your niche, you know?
Yeah,
before you know it, you spent $1 million on Warhammer.
Warhammer 40K plus Magic the Gathering mashup, the Warhammer 40K card game, the most expensive game in the entire world. Mini cards.
Well, because, like, it's experiencing such a, you know, whatever the word is, like, high point right now because of the internet renaissance. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Because of, like, streaming and podcasting.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Exactly. Oh, like shows like Critical Role have really converted people who are just watching these stories and listening to them for entertainment to, like, being curious and wanting to run their own campaigns.
Yeah, and with YouTube and Twitch and so many different ways to get that sort of media that wasn't there. The only way, you know,
all the social media.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The social media.
30 years ago, the only way you could hear about D&D was from a friend who invited you into their basement, and then you played it.
Gross.
Yeah. And like 50-50 chance they were going to murder you.
Gross. Hashtag gross. Road trip 2K19.
Also, shout out to the first season of Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
That's true.
Because I want to say that was before Critical Role, right?
No.
Or no?
No.
Well, then never mind.
It was.
Fuck them.
Everything literally
screw
just
those kids.
Happened to go hand in hand and slowly just work its way up. It was just a bunch of little things that all came together.
Yeah.
It's funny though, I was in a meeting with Twitch the other day and they totally credit Stranger Things with the resurgence of D&D.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they were just talking about it and they're like, well, everyone saw Stranger Things and then D&D came back and I'm like biting my lip.
You're still wrong. Let me tell you, old man.
Yeah.
Well,
this
is like
a 24-year-old influencer.
Oh, well, it's also like there's people who argue, was punk started in the UK or was it started in the US? Because things happen around the same time when, like, large groups of people are feeling similar ways.
Yeah.
It's, what is it? Convergent evolution or divergent evolution? Something?
Yeah, and I mean,
whichever one means that, like, you have the same trait even though you didn't crossbreed.
Right. Right. And that person is
science.
Probably right in a sense where, logistically, more people have seen Stranger Things than have listened to Critical Role.
Yeah.
Or
D&D
podcast or something. So, in a way, Stranger Things probably put the word D&D or the idea of it in more people's heads. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, maybe that led to searching for those podcasts or those streams.
Yeah, totally.
Or it's like those people who are like, oh, you live in Chicago. Do you do improv at Second City?
Yeah, have you seen The Bean? Have you seen The Bean?
No, let me enjoy my deep dish pizza.
The Bean.
I also kind of don't care. I'm so happy that the hobby is finding more audience.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly how I feel, yeah, too. It's very good. I'm just excited.
And I love that the audience is different. Like, the audience isn't just, like, these hardcore gamers that are just getting into more games. They're just people, like, a lot of them are just people that like storytelling. Like, podcasting set the bar almost, the open the door for it. So, like, podcasting in general, listening to ordinary people talk and do their thing about whatever they're excited about, and then all of a sudden, like, Critical Role comes around, and they're basically like a podcast, you know? It's a live stream. It's also in podcast form. You can see your friends. They're not really popular people, but I guess we're making them popular people. It's just, like, a great example of what podcasting can do, I think.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, with the storytelling example and just people, I mean, I might have mentioned this before, but one of the groups I DM for is with my fiance and her three really good friends, who I've become more good friends with, you know, the longer we've been dating and things of that nature. But
My fiance.
She's picking out flowers in Kentucky right now, actually.
Aww. That's oddly.
That's beautiful.
Specific. why go all the way to Kentucky? Well,
that's
sorry.
Where our wedding is.
Yeah,
that's
Lucas,
what I assumed.
Yeah. Lucas, the more I think about it, you made me bring these microphones. You're almost going to have an alibi for your fiance being gone this weekend. It's so weird.
Yikes.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I don't know what that means.
I'm honestly too ignorant or dumb to know what
it
you're talking about.
Like a bad, it sounded like a really bad alibi.
Oh, right? I thought you meant like he was trying to get out of flower shopping.
No, I thought he meant that he murdered her.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
like, oh, yeah. No, yeah. She's in Kentucky.
It's probably
she's in Kentucky right now. For flowers.
Kentucky is also where we sent my dog when I was six.
Jeez Louise.
So probably the dog's helping her pick up flowers.
It's the farm.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
But anyway, with storytelling in that group of people that I play D&D with, is the three of them, even my fiance when I first met her, we're not the type of person to go into a card shop. We're not the type of person to go into a board game store or anything of that nature. But, and when they wanted to play D&D, though, they fell in love with the storytelling. And they fell in love with the, I mean, they enjoy combat to an extent, my fiance more than the others, but it's the storytelling and them being able to play out some of their favorite shows like Supernatural or Once Upon a Time or whatever it is, mm-hmm. that aspect of so many people can just jump into it, and I never expected them to be the group that plays the most and loves it the most, but they are, and that's so wonderful to see that those people from all just completely different backgrounds that you would never expect to love it so much.
Yeah, it makes you really think, like, is there a nerd thing? Like, does it actually exist, or is just like, was it just access?
It's just,
you know,
access.
What I mean?
I think it's access.
It was just access the entire time.
And I mean, I feel like the word nerd or geek is just, it's usually with people that just have huge imaginations that like to think about themselves in all these different ways, in these different places and worlds. I mean, that's where superheroes, science fiction, fantasy, that's where it all comes from, is just putting yourself in a different place, like outside of your own reality. And I think everyone has that,
I think,
to an extent.
Yeah, I think that's a very human thing, right?
Yeah.
Like from, you know, just being around the campfire and telling each other stories, like super, like primitive, like primal stuff too. You know, I think that we as humans see the world through our experiences and our stories, and have this amazing ability to empathize and to create those stories with others.
Also, everyone's a geek about something.
Oh yeah, for sure.
They may not use that word, but like,
nothing is geekier than football.
I was about to say that. Nothing. That was all I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow
football
you'll see
fans
the biggest
are such
thing of geeks,
huge nerds.
For sure,
they're so nerdy for football. They know so much about numbers.
Oh yeah, the numbers.
Once you hit 55,
like people who play
sports, I
said
that into the microphone, like,
or like once care about sports. They care about these people in these teams and what these teams do and the like scores that they get. Like, it's so nerdy.
Yeah,
it's too nerdy for me. And I'm a huge nerd. But they would never call it being a football nerd.
Yeah, I mean, if you can name all the NFC teams in alphabetical order, you're seen as, you know, just somebody that really likes sports. But if I can name all the houses in Westeros, I'm considered a geek or a nerd. You know? Like, what's the difference?
Yeah, like, if you know batting averages
sexy
for a player.
Sexy tight pants.
Sexy tight pants.
That's true. So if I wore sexy tight pants while talking about all the houses in Westeros.
Yeah, you'd be cool.
It is interesting because I think about this a lot. And I'm actually doing a storytelling show for a friend tomorrow that is, the theme is about what you're a nerd about, like what do you love that's nerdy.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love that.
And so I've been thinking a lot about this story. And so many of the things that I was afraid to talk about or like let people know that I liked in high school are the things that I'm like popular for now, which is such a weird experience. Is like, my experience in high school was I was more afraid of people knowing that I watched anime than knowing that I was bisexual. Like, I did not care at all if people knew I was bi. I was very open about it. But, like, I was so terrified people would know I watched Sailor Moon. Mm. Yeah. Or, like, Dragon Ball Z was kind of okay because it was a boy anime.
Now, is it, now for a question about that, is it because you thought one would...
I would get beat up for watching anime, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, right. You would get relentlessly teased, whereas, like, sexuality was fine.
At what age did you embrace it?
Like, openly?
Yeah, like, not bisexuality, but anime and stuff.
That's a good question.
Me, it wasn't until, like, 25.
Yeah, really? It was, like, mid to late 20s that I started, like, talking about it to more than just individual people.
I think that I don't know if I just, like, lived in this weird bubble of nerdness, like, but I think I've always been like, yeah, I draw Sailor Moon. I mean, okay, so drawing anime was different than watching anime. So
yes, I did that too.
I talked a lot about anime and all of that stuff, but I had just friends in high school who were into the same thing, so I feel like I was able to embrace my nerdy self a lot sooner.
Oh, all of my nerdy friends were, like, on the internet and not in the same state as me.
Same.
So... I wasn't openly nerdy with people I was friends with until I moved to Chicago at, like, 24, 25.
Yeah, I had a different experience with, like, meeting people. Like, I've never met someone online that I've become friends with, ever.
Oh,
ever?
Those are my best friends.
Yeah, and so I don't know if that's just because I had a different upbringing. Like, but, like, I'm curious, like, what kind of, like, through MySpace or through, like, what kind of social outlet?
I am an only child who was raised by the internet.
Okay.
So my parents got a computer, like, pretty immediately when you could get computers at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on AOL all the time and, like, on chat rooms. There used to be... It was weird because they were run by, like, ACLU or something, but some of these chat boards would have different role-playing stories that people could do. So, like, my best friend in the world, who I met when I was, like, 11, and I still talk to all the time... She was the leader of this talking wolf pack that we role-played in. Because we had, like, a Lion King role-play, and then we had, like, different things that you could be.
Oh, that's so fun.
How would you even know to do that, though? Because I'm, like, in my 30s now, and I wouldn't even know that that existed.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know that that exists? I honestly cannot remember how I found that.
Lots of clicking.
Lots of clicking.
That's like,
It was just, like, searching through chat boards and stuff when that was up there, and you would find a topic, and you'd be like, what is this? And it would just be people, like, writing out these long stories of their different wolf characters.
So I was really, really afraid of murder on the internet.
Well,
Well, that's okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that's a smart thing to be afraid of.
I mean, I should have been
I'm afraid
of murder
in real life.
Yeah. Well, so, like, I was never really comfortable with talking to people online until, and this is, it shows poor judgment as well, but when I was on MySpace, I started getting, like, modeling, like, offers from, like, other women. So not
I never had a MySpace.
Oh, God. I was super into MySpace. So I would meet people in person and, like, do, like, shoots and stuff, which is, like, I definitely could have gotten murdered numerous times.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I mean, you, like, let your parents know that you were going and were, like,
mostly,
driven there, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean...
Okay. Okay, they knew.
No, I mean, by that time when I was going on, like photo shoots and all of that stuff, I was, like, 19. So I wasn't, like, a 16-year-old doing
those
things.
Gotcha, okay.
But
you made it sound like you were, like, 14, 12? 15.
No.
So when I was 6 and I started
but
modeling...
But still 19. Yeah, you can still get murdered at 19.
Yeah, I still
you
definitely
still
get murdered at 19.
38.
What?
I thought it was murder
There's no expiration
after 30.
Date on murder.
Boo, 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 boo.
Wait.
Oh,
wait,
of course.
Lauren. Did you know I can get murdered?
Of course, Lucas is the one who knows how old you can get murdered.
Yeah. You can go to Kentucky at any time.
Oh, no. I don't want to go to Kentucky.
So
no one's gonna come to my wedding.
She's picking out her flowers in Kentucky.
Oh, no. Wah, wah.
So with the other fiancés in the field of flowers.
Oh no, all the fiancés in Kentucky.
All right, here
Rest
we go.
In peace. So I started going on like chat boards and chat rooms and stuff and like role playing and things, which also never ever mentioned in school to not get beat up, because people found out a couple times and they were very relentless. Because you can't explain that to like a jock who's 12 and doesn't get.
Oh, right.
Why you're so fucking weird.
Story of my life.
I never got made fun of.
I got bullied
in high
so
school.
Hard.
I never
in
got
high school, I didn't.
Like,
oh, I should have, because I was a mess. But.
I think people would try, but like they were so not good at it, we would just make fun of them for trying. Like, it would be stupid if you tried to make fun of someone. I don't know.
So, I'll tell the abbreviated version, because it's not a happy story. In elementary school, I got bullied hard enough that, like, I got pulled out of my school and switched to private school.
Oh.
And then in private school, we all kind of bullied each other because it was a really tiny school and we all had classes together from like fourth grade through eighth grade.
Yeah.
And then when I went back to public school for high school was when I became the like angry goth metalhead kid. Mm. So at that point, I was basically like a hedgehog or a porcupine or something. So when people tried to bully me, I like lashed out real hard. So they would be like, she's fucking crazy, and they wouldn't do it again. So I wasn't bullied in high school because I was aggressive.
Yeah. Same. That's why I became a punk kid, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It like gave me an identity that was also like made me fit into a group.
Yes.
But also was one like, all right, like other people outside that group just don't mess with them.
Did you, Pat, did you, were you in a small school as well, or were you in a pretty large school?
A big school.
Okay.
But my school was weird because I could like, you could pick your friends.
Yeah.
And like completely separate yourself from people you did not like.
Yeah, that was mine too. I definitely, in high school, surprising no one, was this big, really flamboyant theater kid. So like, if someone made fun of me, it's like, okay, like I would go to promote the shows wearing like a ball gown. I would wear a ball gown to all of my classes and be like, come see Chicago. If anyone wanted to bully me, like, I literally did not care.
What was that show that was on Netflix just now? Life Sucks?
Life Sucks. Oh, yeah.
You were the blonde girl?
No, I wasn't shitty to people.
Oh, good.
she was so mean. I was the super nice president of the drama club. Like,
of course.
Let's all, like, let's read Death of a Salesman together. Who wants to come to my house? Except for not my house ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think just, God, high school is such a weird time where there's so many pockets of horrible, horrible people and really, really great people.
There's so much hormones happening.
It's just impossible for one person in their high school experience to have seen all of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and, like, with my school at least, there weren't really, like, traditional cliques, I feel like. Because a lot of people would go through a couple. Like, you might mainly be a cheerleader, but you also hung out with, like, the drum line. Or you were in theater, but you were also a goth kid, me. Or, like, I did all of the different artsy things, but you were mainly in one thing.
I went to you could call it a rough school. Like, I don't know. Like, we had metal detectors and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you went to Joliet.
Yeah. It wasn't a good school.
It wasn't the best. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Rough is a little hard for it, but good is definitely not how I would describe it.
I mean, compared to, like, some other sort of, like, I went to Lockport, which is, like, a great school.
Yeah,
you
know? We made fun of you for being rich kids and stuff.
I should say I was not rich.
No, I know.
I lived on the border of Orland Park and Homer Glen. I was like barely in district. I like had to take the furthest bus to school. But I should say that the district I was in is ridiculously rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the house that we got was like one of these old houses from like the 50s or 60s that was super tiny. But we were surrounded by like mansions, basically.
Was this also a funeral home?
No, that's later on in life.
But we
I'm so curious about
that. We had like our cliques were a little weird because we definitely had like the cool white kids who were football players and stuff who had some money. But then we had a lot of outcasts and a lot of like gangs and violent kids who like came from places that were really rough, you know, like they kind of grouped in their own places. So anytime you walked down the hall, you could you always smelled weed because all the groups smoked weed. Mm-hmm. And then it would be like a very different vibe from like one corner to the other.
I think I was so oblivious of all of this. I was just in my own little world. Mm-hmm. I didn't hang out after school or do any like after school activities. So I didn't really know anything. I wasn't allowed to take rides from people. So I was just like on the bus to school, on the bus back, and like didn't hang out ever. So like, I don't think I experienced any of this stuff, the good or the bad, really. I remember a couple times my friends were getting picked on, and for whatever reason, and to this day, I'm still like this. Where I will, something snaps in my head where I think I know how to fight. And I can
That's interesting phrasing.
Because I know when trouble's gone, all I'm thinking is like, holy shit, that guy could have kicked the fuck out of me.
Yeah, I'm so glad
like,
I didn't get into a
I'm
fight.
I'm so fucking scared. But I walk into like every fight, like I can kick some ass.
Oh, me too.
And everyone backs down every single time.
Yeah.
I've been beat up several times.
Oh, really?
You've been beat up? Oh, Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Here's a story of my first day in my new high school. I watched a guy get into a fight in the middle of the cafeteria. One guy picked up one of the potted plants and hit the other dude
Holy
over the head with the plant.
Damn.
Knocked him out. Yeah.
That's wild.
So
that's super
that
wild.
Was like the environment. It was like really fights happen all the time.
Yeah.
And once I got to college, I saw these like two drunk college frat bros like arguing with one another, and they argued for like 10 minutes and nobody threw a punch, and it was the oddest thing to me because I'm like, where I'm from, the argument lasts about 4 seconds and then a fist happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, like the distance between angry and violence is very, very short.
Yeah, it's peacocks versus bulls, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just people strutting around versus actual somebody's going to physically show their dominance.
You don't have time to like temper it down. Mm-hmm. You know, it just was like, I remember I got into a fight and I got like hit under the hood of the car, and I was like, what am I on the hood of the car for?
Yeah.
okay, what's going on?
I one time had the side of my head keyed.
The side of your head
yeah.
keyed?
That's right. The guy put his keys in his hands in between his fingers, mm-hmm. and then grabbed me and like ran his keys against the side of my head.
Jeez Louise.
I've done that to someone before.
Yeah, it looked really bad.
Ugh.
And
What
did you do?
What did I do to make that happen?
Yeah.
I said a lot of bad stuff.
I usually was running my mouth too.
Yeah, I'm not gonna try to front. He was picking on my friend Bob, and then I just went off and I just started like making fun of this guy like crazy. While we were walking outside to my friend Bob's car. And then this happened. He came back with a pipe first, and I was like, holy shit. And I grabbed the pipe from his hand, and we just stared at each other for like what seemed like infinity. Like him just looking at me like I don't have a pipe anymore, and me looking like, oh man, he was gonna kill me with a pipe. And then he had his keys in his other hands, and he grabbed me and just like tore the side of my face, the side of my head.
Jeez.
It's what's wild about the West Suburbs. It's like, what's up with makeshift weapons?
Yeah.
Like they're everywhere. Like everyone's picking up.
Why do you have a pipe in his car?
That's what I was thinking. Like, what is he doing?
Was it a tire iron?
No, it was.
It was just a pipe.
Yeah, it was like a
PVC.
My
experience.
Gonna
whip my ass with a wiffle ball bat.
Experience of like being a teenager, which like girls too, but a lot of boys, like we'd be walking somewhere and they would just see something and pick it up off the ground and then like carry it for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
So I feel like, because I would do that too, like we had train tracks nearby and there'd be like one of the train track nails and I'd just pick it up and I'd like carry it around.
I still have one actually.
I think I do too. Yeah. So like, that's where I assume most of these weapons come from, is you like, you find something on the street and you're a teenager. So you're like, this is my thing now. Like a dog with a stick.
Yeah. Another time I was walking to my friend Eric's house with my friend Eric, and it was the summer between eighth grade and freshman year. Uh-huh. So I was going into high school, and I had a backpack of all of my magic cards with me. Like,
that was probably the heaviest backpack.
Yeah. It probably cost $2,000.
Right now, yeah, it's those cards are worth money. You guys laugh, but yeah, I was right.
He's proud of that.
I know you're right. We were walking and we're cutting through the subdivision, and it's a nice subdivision too. It's like, it's Homer Glen. And we're walking, and I swear to God, maybe 13 or 15 kids roll up on bikes. And they are seventh graders going into eighth graders, so they're 1 year younger than me, you know? And remember in, like, grade school, 1 year is like, oh, you're a child. You know
what I mean? Like, you haven't seen the world.
You don't know.
Oh, you don't know what going from class to class
is like.
I'm
in a different school.
You're 4 months younger than me.
Yeah.
You child.
You fucking baby. And that's what I said. And
cool.
And they had, so basically they had their own little gang. And I guess this one kid had to beat someone up. So he, like, they form a circle around me and my friend Eric, and they're like, hit him, hit him, hit him. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, Eric, I have all my magic cards. Like, he knows that I have, like, all my cards with me. Like, all these kids would have to do is just, like, look inside my bag, and then there goes my entire collection. It was so scary. Aww. So the kid, like, comes up to me, and he, like, slaps me in the face and, like, knocks my glasses down, and I can't see.
Oh, no. This is, like, totally a nerd getting kicked out.
And I'm like, what the hell? And I, like, look up, and then there's this other kid who actually ends up bullying me for, like, not bullying, but, like, I guess bullying. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird relationship.
I'm unpacking it right now.
Yeah, I'm unpacking it right now.
It's all right.
Yeah, he was like this really smart kid, but also like pretended to be stupid and big and dumb. But I know he was smart, like ridiculously smart. And he used to punch me on the bus, but like as friendship punches, it's really weird.
Friends can bully you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then I picked up my glasses and I walked away. So like it's not a good story, but I still have all those magic cards.
Yeah, you did.
Like,
victory.
To this day, still have all those magic cards.
And they're in the same backpack. He hasn't moved them ever.
Do I have
so,
the same backpack? No.
Of all places to get jumped, I got jumped in Evanston once.
Oh,
what?
Oh
wow.
Yeah. Evanston, Illinois. I got jumped. Me and my
what
friend.
What is that, a caribou coffee, motherfucker?
Give me that.
This Starbucks land.
Well, I was wearing a Joliet shirt, and we were walking, and this one kid comes up in front of me, and he goes, and this is when Joliet basketball was, like, really good. He goes, oh, you guys are, like, killing in basketball this year. And I'm like, yeah, we are. And then what I did know is he had another friend who flanked and came up behind me. And so next thing I know, I'm, like, standing there talking about, like, I remember the kid's name, like Jason Powell or something. Was like
Jason
a star
Powell.
Basketball player.
You sounds like a star basketball player.
I hope you're listening, Jason Powell.
It was something like that. But anyway, he was a. So I'm like talking about it. I'm like animated, like excited.
Yeah. Oh,
and suddenly
Patrick.
I just felt this like steel hit the back of my
head.
Oh my
God.
Yeah. And I was knocked out.
Knocked out cold?
Oh, I don't remember what happened until I'm like blinking my eyes open and there's like the Gatorade that was in my hand like spilling into my face.
Holy
is what woke
shit.
Me up. Yeah, the thing is, I had a dollar on me.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm a 16-year-old kid from Joliet walking around.
Wait,
you know?
They robbed you?
I assume.
Oh.
I Jeez. Mean, again, I Wait, saw...
Was
I
your dollar
my,
gone?
Was it Jason Powell who robbed you?
Sounds like... If so, that's an crazy. Inside job.
Yeah. Was it his rival who didn't, like,
I don't know.
Being
I don't know what
about?
They were doing. I don't know if they were, like, not
Pace
from Evanston.
Gel.
Yeah, was it Pace and Gel?
And he just had really big cheeks.
My assumption is they weren't from Evanston, hoping to, like, rob from an Evanston kid.
Yeah.
But they, like, picked the one, the two Joliet kids walking around.
Yeah.
Neighborhood.
Yeah. I mean, you're not that bright if, like, that. You know who I'm going to hit up? The Joliet kids.
Those well, kids got a lot of money.
So I grew up in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is one of the better off counties. Like, it's a pretty good county. So, like, I got into fights a lot, and I hung out with the bad crowd at my school, but I think my bad crowd is different than your bad crowd because it wasn't, like, gang violence. But my mom, there was this neighborhood that was near our school called the Kentlands that we always call Pleasantville because that's literally what it looks like. It's just straight up from that movie. And my mom was mugged there in broad daylight on, like, Main Street.
God.
So that was, like, junior year of high school, and this dude, like, fucked her up. So anytime people are like, oh, this is a safe area, I was like, nowhere safe.
Nowhere safe.
Nothing safe.
Did you know you could get murdered at any age?
Any age. You can get mugged in any neighborhood.
My friend Lucas.
When I first moved to Chicago, I had been here for maybe, less than a year. It was, I want to say, like, maybe 7 or 8 months. I'm walking and talking on the phone, and it's, like, 2 p.m., you know, and all of a sudden, like, I pass by this group of people, and the next thing I know, like, my, like, this guy basically slaps me, like slaps the phone like out of like my hand that I was talking with. So he like hits me, takes off running, grabs my phone, and just like bolts down an alley.
Mm-hmm.
And like I did not register. I mean, because I'm from Phoenix, so it's not like this is like completely like foreign to me or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just so shocked that I thought that we were playing a weird game and that he was just like,
he's coming back.
Tag, you're it.
Kind of. And I was like, what the fuck?
Tag,
and I,
tag,
motherfucker. Like,
tag, it's over.
So tag, I chase Kentucky. Him.
You're it, and also I have your phone.
Yeah. So I chase him and I start running. And I was at first, I'm like laughing. I was like, what the fuck? Ha ha ha. Like, give me my phone back. And I'm running after him until he goes down an alley. And I was like, oh shit, this is an actual dangerous situation for me. Cool. And then I went
so
home.
Scary.
You are not the only girl, yeah, I know though who like has had a similar thing happen of like someone stealing their phone and running and their first reaction was, I will fucking chase you.
Yeah.
Like most of the women I know are just like, I am out for blood before they're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't go into this particular area or like the shock wears off.
Right.
Because, yeah, like
fight Carlos or flight, was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess mine is fight. Lord, I didn't know.
It depends on the scenario, I think, for me. But like Carlos was saying, if someone is mean or to my friends or like someone I care about is in trouble, I absolutely think that I'm like a bulldog,
yeah,
and I can do something. And that got me in trouble a lot in high school because I sometimes privilege is good in the sense of like I'm small and Reed is female. So a lot of times if I threaten someone who's twice my size, they go like, what is this tiny dog yapping at me?
Yeah.
Like, I can't punch this tiny girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So sure. I got away with that a lot, but not all the time. I got away with it.
So your well, worst like, nightmare, you guys. I got away with it a lot.
Well, that's the thing is like they would threaten people and I'd be like, oh, I'll fucking fight you. And they're like, if I beat you up, this isn't satisfying because you're small. And I was like, I'll fight you anyway. And they're like, you know what? This isn't worth it.
Yeah, they're totally fucked if they fight you.
Yeah.
But totally
that doesn't
fucked.
Always work because not everyone abides by those rules. And then sometimes they will fight you.
I had a friend in college, Matt Furschneider. In case you're listening, we call him Matt Fur Trader.
Oh, that's pretty good.
He's listening. He's listening. It's important that he knows he has a terrible nickname.
He listens to a lot of radio, so I don't know if this is this.
A lot of radio.
I know
FM. 98.7,
I know that
baby.
Because he used to talk to me over the summer in college, and he talked about all the radio stations he called in on.
What?
He called in?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
my
back
God.
Back in 1995?
He was a really cool guy. He was on the improv team I had in college.
Wait, what was the team called?
Trapdoor Improv.
Okay.
Okay, all
that's
right.
That's not that bad.
For an improv team, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. And so anyway, he was a different guy, but he was so nice. One of his most distinguishing features is that he couldn't really feel his feet because when he was younger, he was climbing a tree and it fell onto him.
Oh,
the
no.
tree fell onto him?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Up and
it was a pretty big tree. And like,
how did this tree fall on him?
He climbed and fell off the tree.
I need more yeah, details. There's a lot of logistics.
It was a dead tree.
The tree is like thick enough for you to climb
exactly.
on.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
It was a dead tree and his weight knocked it over and he fell down and it landed on his back.
Oh no.
And
God.
So like he was paralyzed from the waist down.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. You just gotta lead with
no,
that.
No,
I jokes, Lucas.
I told you he couldn't feel his feet.
Yeah, feet is different than paralyzed,
bro. He was for about a year and a half and then he went through like rehabilitation.
Oh, that's really
now
good.
He can walk and everything, but he has trouble feeling the bottom of his feet, so he walks differently. Like,
man, I am making jokes
gait.
Till I hear the end of
and,
it.
Yeah, sir, you're right.
He's got, you're just laying it all out on this guy today.
Okay, so when did he lose his virginity? Anyway, I want to.
He's got a wide gait.
I want to give you guys a picture of this guy. I'm painting a beautiful
it really is
podcast
good.
Picture.
Yeah, when dreams may come over
right?
here.
So,
when dreams may come.
So he's
because
really
you can
tall.
Die at any time. That's what that movie tells you.
He's really tall and lanky.
Yeah.
And just kind of a quiet guy, but really, really funny. And he had this girlfriend all through college. And I remember he told me one time we had this place called Main Street in my college where it was like all the fraternity and sorority houses were on this street. So it was a lot of big parties on the weekends. And he was down there with his girlfriend. And he walked out of a party with her. And these guys started following them and then they kept going, but they got in a car and were slowly like with their lights on following them behind them. And he just walked into the middle of the street, got in front of the car, and then just started getting naked and running at the car. And the guys, like, drove off really fast. And he's like, that's all you got to do, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just get weird naked and run at somebody.
Not that specific thing, but I've learned a lot of, like, if someone thinks you're fucking crazy, yeah. they will not mess with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot that's of times that true. I would, if I was in a dangerous situation, I would just, like, lash out first.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, I can't predict this person. I don't want to get involved in this.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I have a crazy dog.
Ah.
Oh, Ozzy.
He's the sweetest dog
the
ever.
The sweetest little marshmallow
but
boy.
But he barks a lot. He does bark a lot.
I have a crazy cat.
So,
yeah. Yeah, so unpredictable. That little Ozzy bear.
I bet my cat bites more people than your dog.
I don't think my dog's ever bitten any.
Oh
yeah, then I already win.
My cat bites more people, but the people are
He was, like, jumping
me.
At this girl in the hallway, and he got her glove stuck in his mouth. And then we couldn't get the glove off, and she's like, ah! And we're like, ah, the glove is, like, stuck on his canine tooth.
And he was like, I regret all my choices.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's, like, whimpering.
Oh,
yeah. And we're like, at first I was like, what is he doing? He's going to rip this little girl's hand off. I was like, no, he's stuck.
What a nerd.
What kind of dog is it?
He's a cockapoo.
Aw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to just give him a bath before he came here because he was stinky.
Our cat surprisingly loves the shower.
What is your cat's name?
Jezebel.
I think we've talked about this, but I forgot.
She's... I feel like
what does she
my
look like?
Fiance would be mad, but she loves to cuddle with me when she's not home. But then when Anna gets home, she doesn't cuddle at all with either of us.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
Because you have each other.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or
don't
like
know
when one of you leaves, she's like, oh no, what if the other one leaves?
Oh,
yeah, we did
God,
leave.
That's heavy.
We did
why
leave.
Did you go, why did you go there?
Because I also have a cat and I worry that he thinks this.
Yeah, well, but maybe it you're projecting though.
No, and that's my cat's needy as hell.
I'm interested because I don't think we've ever had the occasion where I've been gone and Anna's the only one that's home.
Oh. Well, because,
so maybe we can...
Because I live...
Because Anna's dead.
We need to stop
No,
this
I don't like it. I
just
want
to
like
be clear.
Tell her
my fiance Anna is
it.
Alive and well. Very happy. She just messaged me.
Oh,
we're
really?
Picking out Perfect. A first dance song right now.
Oh, no. What is happening? This is so elaborate, bro.
Maybe she should skip this episode.
Yeah,
this
she's not.
No,
she's never not listening to this
Season
one.
3 of Serial needs it.
So my cat, I just live in an apartment with me and my cat, and he's very needy. But, like, I spent most of this week just home in the apartment with him, like, cuddling because it was cold outside. And yesterday I left the apartment for, like, 2 hours. That was it. But it was the first time I'd left the apartment in days. And when I came home, he, like, screamed at me and, like, followed me from room to room.
Aww.
And then when I sat down, he curled all of his limbs around my arm and, like, bit me anytime I tried to move away.
Aww. That's so sweet.
It's sweet, but also aggressive.
Yeah.
It's, like, sweet for people who think that, like, Twilight is a really good love story. But, like, he's definitely a lot cuddlier with me if I've gone away on a trip and I come back.
Oh, yeah, our cat's the same way. I think the longest we've left her home alone is, like, 4.5 days.
I assume with someone feeding her.
No. We have an automatic feeder.
Oh.
But also, we don't have somebody come in to feed her because she hates other people. And we think that if a stranger comes in to feed her,
it
would just make her more...
Yeah,
if she was just by herself with food, like, she's much happier.
Kahlo
but the automatic feeder is great.
Kahlo is an extroverted cat. Like, I worry sometimes that I need to get a roommate or something because I feel like he's bored because he needs to be around people and other cats. Yeah. I mean, I would love another cat. I would love 6 cats or 12. You know, a million. However
That's
many.
Too many.
Yeah, let's draw the line at 750. All right.
Yeah, so...
Greedy.
What would people think?
Well, first I worry, like, he's been
Where'd
alone
you get all these
for...
Cats? That's a good question.
There are so many cats that need homes.
That's true. Probably a million.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. But one, like... 2 cats is slightly harder than 1 cat for if I have to travel or different things.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I also live alone in a 1-bedroom, and I'm allergic to cats, so probably I shouldn't get a second one in this
is
situation.
Is your cat hypoallergenic?
No.
Our cat is, and she's... My fiancée's allergic to cats, too.
What kind of cat is she?
She's part Russian blue, which is a hypoallergenic cat.
I had a Russian blue when I was younger.
and I have a picture. Hold on, I'll find a picture.
I'm allergic to anything with dander, so that's cats, dogs, birds, some lizards.
Ozzy's hypoallergenic.
Ooh,
how do you guys know this?
They tell you.
Because we're
the
pet
internet.
Owners,
I guess so. I had a.
He also has the cutest little paws. You know that too.
I've also like. The only time I've ever lived without
First Avenue, right?
a cat was the 4 years I was in college. So I've been allergic to animals my whole life, and we've always had a million of them in my house. So I've adapted.
Yeah.
But it's still maybe not a good idea to have two in a small environment.
That makes sense.
Yeah, probably not. Guys, we're almost at this con.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm excited.
We are.
Yeah.
I'm like trying not to fall asleep in the car. That's like my thing I do.
Me
Every
too.
Car ride, I'm always asleep.
This is the, so the con is actually not far from where I used to work. So we're traveling.
At the funeral home?
My work, no. In my workplace
Hello,
right now.
Oh, cat pictures. Oh, look at our cute little kitty paws.
She's,
oh.
We call her Tudsy at home.
Tudsy?
Tudsy.
Yeah, it just means pudgy.
That's so cute.
Because she's got a little fat, furry belly.
Oh, yeah. I was singing at my cat today about his chonky belly.
Oh, aww. Speaking of Lucas nicknames.
Uh-oh. Where are we?
Yeah.
Tudsy.
Chonky.
Oh, yeah,
the creation of Adam.
That was so, the cutest photo. Everyone on the podcast is going to love this moment of me screaming about a photo they can't see.
Yeah, we call it the creation of Adam.
Oh. I would like to see it later when I'm
okay,
not driving.
I will show you guys when I get there.
Also We've, post it on the internet after we release this
yes,
episode.
Yes,
I feel like a podcast listener right now. I have no idea what's going on.
I've gotten into the habit of when I ask Serena for something.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so funny. I'll ask Serena for something, and if she can't
can
find it.
For like 11 minutes?
Lucas, okay. Yeah. You'll enjoy this.
Okay,
when Serena
He's my navigator.
When Serena can't find something, I call her a surface looker.
Oh, because of...
and so I scream at
so,
him.
So hold on. For anyone listening to this
Isn't
podcast...
Isn't terrible?
I did an interview with Lucas a while ago when I was learning how to edit. He was kind enough to do this interview for me. And in it, he explained how his dad would call him a surface looker when he would ask for something and he'd come back and be like, I don't know where it is. His dad would be like, you're a surface looker. And I don't know
but
why.
But he would say it under his breath, like, just like, surface looker. And then just go and find it immediately. Because he's a dad and knows where everything is in the house ever.
So I started.
That's not my dad.
I don't know why.
That's not me either.
Or how this has happened. But I will ask for something, and then she'll go look for it. And, like, I know she didn't look good for it. Like, I know she did it. And I'll immediately go, and I'll find it. And I'm like, and I'll do the same exact thing.
I'm going to give you more than...
Oh, just take this down and go left on Ogden. Yeah, I'll do the same exact thing. I'll be like, you're a surface looker.
And then I scream at him, you are not Lucas's dad!
And then I'll scream back, I am Lucas's dad! And then I'll run away.
So
where do you run?
The next room.
Or
the bathroom or the other places in
our
house.
I'm happy my childhood complications can give you joy.
Yeah, that's really funny. My mom has that disdain, but it's for surface cleaners.
Oh, surface cleaners.
Yeah, like she gets real mad about people.
She hates 409.
Yes.
That's a very good dad joke.
That's the joke. Yep.
That's a very good dad joke.
Was that the 411 on the 409 joke? Anyway.
I'm more of a method man myself.
Wow.
I don't know. You're
so hard.
You're all surface cleaners.
That's how you know it's a dad joke, when he's the hardest one laughing at.
Whoa. It's good. It's good. It's great.
You know, we got about an hour worth of stuff here, so I think Pat's right. We should just stop recording.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's weird how the mood just died.
You know, you're a surface podcast.
You're a surface podcast.
See, I'm really sorry, Serena, that you have to deal with that.
Thank you, Lucas.
Because I had to deal with it for 18 years of my
life.
Well, I'm getting married to it for the rest of my life.
I just love the fact that she's like, you're not Lucas's dad. And then from the other room, I'm like, I am Lucas's dad.
So, like, you are a staple in our home now. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, let your dad know.
Let your dad know. Listen to this podcast.
Let your dad know there's a Puerto Rican man in Chicago. That's him.
Yeah.
Wait, what's your dad's name?
John.
John.
My dad is, he's like, I feel like he's the ultimate, like, if the brawny dad.
Oh, wow.
Like, the brawny man?
That's like the brawny man dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Brawny, yes. Like, he was the quicker picker-upper?
Yeah, he was like an Eagle Scout. He built our first house.
Oh, he's like Ron Swanson.
See, in my head, I was like, he is made of paper towels.
Yes,
you can buy him at a grocery store.
He's also quilted.
If he goes into the water, he dissolves.
He's too ply. He's a quicker picker-upper.
But like, I don't know.
Bounty. That's not Bronny.
Damn it.
I did the same thing because I said quicker picker-upper.
Oh.
I was calling myself out. We're just an bounty. Unfortunate bounty. Casualty.
Quicker picker-upper. Bounty.
Oh, man.
Bronny.
Good for
Bronny.
Yeah, no. Either way.
Kit Kats.
But if anything, it should be a compliment that you would be called my dad.
Yeah. Aww. See, that's what I'm talking about.
I think if anybody's called a dad, it's a big compliment.
Oh, yeah. Don't you guys agree?
Aww. True.
Yeah. I agree.
I'll be your guys' dad. I'll step in.
Well, we are almost there. I'm going to pack up because we have to clean this all up. And, hey, maybe we'll do this on the ride back. That'd be fun.
Yeah, we're all be sleeping.
If we still like each other.
Sleeping. Dude, it's like 4
can we get
4:00.
Ice cream on the way back, Pat?
Ooh, can we get ice cream?
Oh, there's a custard place.
Only if you're good. Only if you
guys,
behave.
Guys, be good. Don't ruin this for me.
Listen, there's I didn't ask, are we there yet, even once. I've been so good.
I've had to pee since we left.
Now, when we get to the con, you can all pick out one toy. Just one.
But what if we all pull our toys together? Can we get a
big
toy?
Share it?
Oh, I'll have to ask your mother.
I know we're doing a bit, but I really need to know if we're going to get ice cream.
There is a custard place down the block on LaGrange. I don't know if it's open right now because it is February.
Have you been here a couple times, Carlos?
Yeah, dude. I work down the block. Shut up.
Oh, I didn't know.
What? I just said it.
You work down the block?
Yeah.
He said
this place was close to where he used to work, and then I interrupted the rest of his story by asking if it was the funeral home.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
There's also cops all over here, so we should put away these microphones.
Oh, okie doke. Oh,
cops hate
Lucas,
podcasts.
Put that gun away.
Lucas.
All right.
What was that?
That was the bullet. That was the bullet coming out of the chamber.
Your baby gun. There was like a gesture with it.
Yes, a gesture made it seem like the bullet went like 2 inches and then fell.
Well, it's like when you bounce bullets. A coin off a table.
There's a cop right there.
Oh, there's several.
Pulling over podcasters, I see.
Uh-oh.
No, it's a goose.
Oh, there's a big swan.
Oh, my God. That is a swan. Oh, wow.
Why aren't you guys taking a picture of the swan?
Lost.
Hold on.
Hold on. Let me get my...
Yeah, you're the one who has a...
Did you ask if the swan was drunk, Alex?
Yeah. Yes. Why is it getting attacked by the police?
It says it's a four-way always stop, so...
Holy shit.
What do I do?
I don't know, but...
There's a swan.
This is not south. Why are you here? It's winter.
Yeah, that's a horrible four-way intersection right by train tracks.
Very confusing.
Yeah. People get into accidents right there all the time. I should have warned you. Anyways.
All right, guys.
Do you think that's why that swan is there? It crashed its car?
The swan confused?
Yeah.
Like, people are going to listen to this and they don't understand. There were two cop cars and people just standing and staring at the swan.
Yeah, that crashed its car.
I wouldn't go anywhere near a swan. Swan and geese are some of the most horrible animals.
They're also
they're really sweet, but also scary.
There's a lot of mechanics around in this area, though, so... He'll get the bill later.
Hi-yo!
All right.
Yeah, on that note,
the dungeon rounds.
Okay. You're right, Carlos. We should stop.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.